This is the continuation of an oral history interview with Sylvia Ronsky-Strejka, conducted on March 20th, 1995, by Lisa Hutchinson for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Graduate Public History Class Project, The Forgotten Champs, The Milwaukee Chicks of 1944.
How did the members of the Chicks get along with each other?
Well, I'd say basically we all got along fine. You had your, some were, you know, cliques together, but basically we were all one team. But you naturally pair off and triple off, or sometimes four went out. We never went out as a team, period, no. We all had our little bunches, you know. Like Joe and I were together, and then Joe and I and Tommy Thompson, and there was another one, I can't even remember names no more. But generally, two or three would go together, do things, like I said, shopping or eating or to a movie or stuff like that. We weren't really into much. I myself was not world-wise, shall we say, because this is my first time away from home. I never went to movies or anything at that time because there was never any money for it. So I never was one for going to movies a lot or anything like that. So we really didn't do a heck of a lot.
So you and Joe and Tommy, you were all pitchers, right?
Well, yeah.
Did most people hang out with or go out with position?
No, there's a mixture, naturally. I mean, just because you play... Because our first baseman, well, maybe there was another one, but that don't mean she'd have to go with another first baseman. That would be dumb.
That makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Were you allowed to go out on dates while you were playing for the Chicks?
Go out where?
On dates with boys.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't have one at the time.
They say the members of the league had a boyfriend in every town.
Well, maybe some of them did, and there were some that were very beautiful girls, I'll tell you. And one gal was she actually was a star from, I know, maybe shouldn't say star, but she was a, how did they put it, for Hedy Lamarr, she could fit in for her dub, or how can I say that?
Was she an actress?
Yes, up to a point. Mm-hmm. And she could double for her. She was another Hedy Lamarr. You could, oh, beautiful girl. You know what the heck she was doing playing ball. She was really beautiful. But, and there were other ones. And some, well, they had their husbands. Some of them were married. So naturally their husbands were there and they went out with them. And the ones that were more along with their boyfriends and that. And some maybe did pick up boyfriends. I myself didn't, and I know of any that did, so I can't say.
What was the most difficult change in your personal life as a result of playing baseball and touring in different cities?
Well, I don't know if there's anything difficult.
Was it hard to be away from home?
No. I think anybody likes to go traveling around, and then you're chaperone, you never had anything to worry about. I mean, everything was made sure that you had your bus tickets or whatever, train ticket.
You had a place to stay.
You never had to worry about anything. So it was kind of a nice way to travel and not worry about anything. So we didn't have, like today, I wouldn't go traveling around. Back then you could have and not gotten into any trouble. But even so, it's always nice to have somebody arranging everything for you. Like, you feel like a star, you know. We're going here, we're going there, and you don't have to worry about paying for a ticket or what have you. That's all done for you. You just get on the train or the bus, and you go into the hotel and get your room assignment, and there's no money coming out of your hands. It feels good. Felt nice.
Did they pay for any extracurricular activities?
Oh, no. If you want to go to a show or that came out of your own money. Then when you were on the road, they gave you extra food money. Like when we were in Milwaukee, I lived at home. and the ones that were put into homes, I believe those people were reimbursed with money. I don't know how that worked. But when we are on the road, then we each got money for food, excuse me, because you had to go out to eat all the time when you're on the road. You stayed in a hotel and then you had to eat somewhere. So we'd get extra money for food when you were on the road. Other than that, you had your paycheck. And what you did with it, that was your problem, you know. But you never had to pay for the rooms or anything like that. But if you wanted to go to shows or buy something, that was up to you to pay out of your own pocket.
So you kept some money for yourself for that type of...
Not a heck of a lot. Most of mine went home. So I didn't get too much.
So you said the chaperones pretty much organize everything, make sure everything's okay. You said before also that people who went to church, did they find churches of your denomination in each city?
Normally they would have it listed, your hotel when you came into them. They'd have all that information for the girls. Well, they do that for anybody, what I'm saying, you know. Public information for when people come to your hotel, they have all that information out there. And the gals were, when you wanted to know, you'd go check that. They didn't see that you got there, no. That was up to you to take care of your own. So.
When you went somewhere, did anyone have a car? Or, well, in town, in Milwaukee, they might have, but in other cities?
I don't remember. I know one gal had a car. I think she was the one from Wisconsin. I'm not sure who had the car. It must have been her because she was the only Wisconsinite. I don't think anybody brought their cards, you know. These girls came from all over, including Canada. So I don't think they would have come with a car, not knowing where they're going to end up playing or whatever. But being a Wisconsinite and in Milwaukee, she may have been the one with the car. And then when, once or twice they drove like to Indiana when we had to go to play in South Bend or like Fort Worth. I almost couldn't remember that. So, but not all the time. Most of the time they traveled with the team. That was only a special, see, they were over 21, so they could do things like that. Those of us that were under, we definitely went with the team. There weren't too many cars, no.
So you walked to movie theaters or took buses, the public
transport? Most of the time you walked. Because you didn't know the towns too well. You get on a bus, you didn't know where you were going. Of course, the towns were small. Racine, Kenosha, they're small towns. And Rockford, Illinois was small. I can't hardly remember much about Rockford even. And then South Bend and Fort Worth. Back then, this is 50 years ago. They're big towns now, but back then they weren't all that big. So if you were in a hotel, you were more or less down in your downtown district, more or less, you know. And if you had to take a bus to the ballpark, you were well informed what bus to get on and so forth, you know.
So when you were in Milwaukee, how did the fans feel about the Chicks or the press?
Well, we didn't get too much coverage by the press because we're women. To this day, the women don't get covered like they do the men. And what people enjoyed us came out to the park, but there wasn't too big of an attendance either. Whereas being the Warriors, and then on top of that, these are just girls playing ball, you know.
They had the minor league Brewers.
Well, yeah, they did. But like all the other teams, you know, most of the good stars were in the service, and they were making do with replacements and whatever. Not that they weren't too good, but I don't know how good they were. I wasn't worried about them. But people to this day don't back women's sports like they do men. That's why women don't make as much money in sports as men do. The money isn't there.
How did you feel when you were playing for the Chicks that fans didn't come out as much and the press wasn't covering you?
Well, I didn't worry about it back then.
You just wanted to play.
I just played ball. That wasn't my concern. It was nice if they came, but it didn't bother me one way or the other. Should have, I suppose, but I wasn't worried about that end of it. But then that's why they moved out of Milwaukee, because they didn't have the backing. So Minneapolis was worse. They started there, and they didn't get any backing, I guess. They didn't even finish the season. They were a team on the road all the time. They didn't have a home.
They were the Minneapolis Orphans for a while.
Right, that's right. That whole summer, that whole year, and then I ain't sure where they sent them. I know they took in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but that's where we went. But I can't remember.
Maybe they went to Fort Wayne.
No, Fort Wayne had a team. They always did. Fort Wayne, South Bend, Rockford, Racine, Kenosha. I ain't sure. Maybe they just didn't have it. They just spread the girls around on the rest of the teams. I think. I can't remember. I can't give you an honest answer what happened to them.
When you were playing in West Dallas on the dirt field, how can you compare that with playing at Borchert Field?
Oh, gosh. We had more people backing us that came out there and for nothing. Of course, you know, we didn't have to pay. But we did have quite a following. We had to take a short break here.
How often did you have games in Milwaukee?
There's another good question.
Was it
really
once a week?
I don't remember. Well, if we were in Milwaukee, you played more than one day. You played maybe 4 or 5 days, whatever the stay was in any town. I can't say I can remember. You had your teams coming in. They maybe stayed 2 or 3 days, and then another team would come in. But then it was your turn to go on the road, and you hit all those other teams, and then you come back home, just like they do it now. You know, when you're home, you got a home stand. How long they lasted, I don't remember. But we had maybe 6 teams. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. No, I guess we had 16, so actually you'd have 5 teams come into play. So I'm sure a homestand must have been at least 2 weeks. But then you hit the road for 2 weeks, or whatever time it took to play at all the other fields. So that's about how that would have worked.
So how did you travel from city to city when you were on the road?
I remember mainly taking the North Shore Railroad. We may have taken a bus, but I can't remember buses too well. Seems to me the railroad comes to mind more so than anything else. Maybe between here and Kenosha and Racine, we may have taken a bus, because it wasn't that far. But to Rockford or the ones in Indiana, I'm quite sure we took the train. I remember those trains real well, and I loved them. Just love to hear they still had the steam whistles, and that was right up my alley. And then they had the dining cars, and they'd call you to dinner and breakfast, and it was just nice.
Were the meals paid for by the
No, you
league?
Paid for your own. Meals. You had your extra pay for meals on the road, and that's what you used. So you could order what you wanted or whatever. But it just was nice. And I wanted to show my kids that further down when I had mine and we were traveling. And I didn't realize it, but they had dropped the dining cars, and it wasn't what I remembered at all.
It wasn't the same experience?
No, not at all.
So you really enjoyed being on the road because of the trains and
being in new
cities?
Well, it was part of it. Yeah, it was part of it. You sit on the train and watch all the scenery. Of course, a lot of the backyard stuff. I mean, where do they put the railroad tracks? But it was still nice. I enjoyed riding a train back then. Not today so much, but back then I sure did. I haven't been on a train now since, the time I took the kids, and that's, a while back. So I haven't been on a train. I go anywhere now, I fly. Don't fly too often, but if I have to, I fly. Get there faster, and it costs almost the same from where I have to go.
How long were the train trips? A few hours? couple of hours? Well, depending on where you went, I guess.
Yeah, well, naturally. That makes sense.
Did you have any overnight trips?
We had to have some because I know I remember sleeping on them and then getting the morning call for breakfast, first call to breakfast. That was always so nice. I loved that part of it.
Did you stay in sleeping cars?
Oh, no. You sat in your seat. If you were lucky and it wasn't too crowded, then you had a whole seat to yourself, which worked out pretty well. But a lot of times there were soldiers and stuff getting transferred. The trains would be kind of filled up with other passengers, not just us, naturally. So it was nice, though. But I had a nice suit made out of, here I go. But I could sleep in it and get up, and the creases went right back where they belonged. I had a traveling suit, that's what I called it. Gabardine, I believe it was. And I had had it tailor-made. The only thing I ever had tailor-made. But oh, that was nice. I could sleep in that skirt, had three pleats in the back and one in the, three in the front, one in the back. And the suit coat, I'd use that to maybe cover myself, but you'd get up and that skirt would just hang straight down like I never slept in it. It was beautiful for traveling. So we did sleep on some of the trips that we had to take for overnight, you know. How often, that I couldn't say. I imagine when we went like from Milwaukee directly to Indiana, they possibly would take a night train, so we'd be there in the morning, get organized and get to the ball field of practice and stuff like that.
Did you get enough sleep on the train those
nights? Oh, I could always sleep. To this day, I can sleep very well. If it's quiet and I sit down, I can go right to sleep. That never did bother me. And on the train, I used like that clickety-clack, and it was like a lullaby to me. I don't know if it bothered anybody else. Some people it might bother them, but to me, it was just nice. I liked it.
When you stayed in other cities, you stayed at hotels mainly?
At hotels, oh yeah. When you're on the road, you stayed at hotels. Two girls to a room usually, and one bed. But that was all right. They had big beds. Other than that, no.
You had mentioned to me previously that there was an incident in Minneapolis when you went to the hotel.
Oh, yes, the first time we went there. I believe it was the very first time. Well, we didn't get there too often because they were orphaned that same year. But we were leaving to go to the ballpark, and everybody was all a hub about something. And when I finally asked what was going on, some woman had jumped out of the hotel on the other side of the building and had committed suicide. Well, being young kids, we were all shook up over that, but there was nothing we could do, or they certainly didn't let us go over there. Just get to the ballpark, that was what we were there for. Leave all the other stuff out of it. So, well, I'm happy I didn't want to go see it anyway. Not really.
Was that the most frightening or exciting moment?
Well, I'd say it's about the worst thing that happened the whole time I was in anything like that. Otherwise, nothing like that took place. Thank goodness.
What were the good things about being on the road?
Good things?
Well, you said the train, and we mentioned the restaurants.
Well, we used to sing a lot on the train or the bus, whichever it was. It's just the fact of traveling, I guess. I like to travel. And although we weren't going far, and most of the time we go in the same place again, but it was still traveling. It's, if you like to travel, it feels good. If you don't like to travel, you wouldn't have been happy, because we were traveling a lot.
Was there anything bad about being on the road?
I didn't find anything bad. I don't know if anybody else did. I don't see why you go going from one place to the next. And you had anything you needed, so I didn't find anything bad about it anyway.
You got used to the cities when you went there regularly?
Well, you didn't get too far. At least I didn't. I went to the hotel and you went to the ballpark. And like I say, when you're in other cities, in the hotel generally, in the downtown area, so your movies or whatever was within walking distance, you didn't have to worry about finding your way around the city. And if you had to have a bus ride to the ballpark, they would inform you what buses to take so you didn't get lost. But in those days, those towns were rather small. It would have been hard to really get lost, I think. At least I didn't hear of anybody being lost. I didn't manage to get there, so everybody should have.
Including Milwaukee. I know this is your hometown, but what was your favorite city to play at?
That's a good one. I think Racine. It was either Racine or Kenosha because the hotel, most of the rooms I got would face the lake. And I managed to see the moon come up out of the lake one night. I just happened to be in the bedroom at the right time, or my room, what can I say, well, bedroom. And it was just that time of night, and I was looking out towards the lake, and to actually see that moon come up, it's a big, huge orange thing. I'm raising up out of the lake, it was fantastic. As a matter of fact, after I got married, we were married 2 or 3 years, I think, and I suggested taking a second, like, honeymoon down to Racine just so we could see that, try it again anyway. Well, we got us, made sure we had the hotel room facing the lake, and we laid down on the bed. We were fully dressed, because I guess we intended to go eat after. Fully dressed, we laid down on the bed, and we're watching the lake, and we both fell asleep. We didn't get up till about 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get any dinner or anything else. We were still all dressed. We missed the whole thing, so it's kind of a bust. I never managed to do that one again.
Did you ever, you never went back there?
No. Well, I suppose you could stay right here in Milwaukee and sit someplace on the lakefront and watch and wait for it. But I've never done that. It just seemed so neat to be able to be in your room and watch this happen. I thought that would work out nice for us. Some second honeymoon, we fell asleep.
How are the fans different on the road than in Milwaukee?
Well, I think your smaller towns, you had bigger crowds and they were more with you than they were in Milwaukee. I suppose they're used to, Milwaukee wanted the men's league, the other towns didn't have a big team, so they took to the gals pretty well. They had quite a bit of good backing in the other towns, more so than Milwaukee. And they didn't have the fancy stadiums like they had. Well, Orchard Field compared to what we got today was nothing. But compared to the other towns, it was still a stadium compared to what they had. They were ball fields, yes, but you wouldn't call them a stadium. Well, of course, Brewer's Orchard Field wasn't called a stadium either. They just called ball field back then. Now we're stadiums and all this. But the backing was there. In their smaller towns more so, because they weren't spoiled by big league. That's my only figure out, I don't know.
So when Milwaukee had the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra play at Orchard Field, did that bring an awful lot of people?
I don't think so, it may have kept them home. Not everybody wants symphony orchestras.
What did you think of the idea?
Well, I thought it was pretty dumb myself, but I didn't have much to say about anything. I liked music, and I liked symphony music, but I don't think I wanted it before the ball game. It didn't make much sense to me, symphony music and then to play a ball game. The two don't mix, I don't think.
Of course, some of the press that we've said criticized it, but it seems that the league was proud of it at the time as a novel idea.
Well, they maybe are proud of the idea, but like I say, I still can't see where they figured it would. And the press was against women anyway, you know. They're never with you. So, they're no better now than they were then. They're getting a little better. But they still don't cover women. Even with your skaters, Bonnie Blair's how many medals and what all. And then this guy, I can't even come up with his name.
Dan Jansen.
Yeah, he finally gets a medal. Well, big deal. I'm proud he got it. But how long did it take him to get the one medal?
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Blair is loaded with them. Did you get any of the ovations she got? Mm-mm. But he was all over the paper all the time. He finally won a medal. Beautiful, I'm glad. But where was the accolades for her? And she's winning them left and right, you know? Now that shows you the difference. Sure, they finally had some write-ups for her, but nothing like splashing across for him. Sure, he deserved some of it, but compared to six, seven medals, she's loaded with them. He gets one, and he's like the first person in Wisconsin that ever won a medal. I mean, no way. I didn't think that was right. I don't know about anybody else, but I thought that's pretty stupid.
He had a noble story about his sister.
Oh, big deal. We all got problems. I mean, what? Come on. It's got nothing to do with your skating. You're either skating or whatever. I'm sure Bonnie Blair must have had a few things in her background, but I ain't exploiting them. So, no, I can't see that.
You know, the women's sports being neglected, you know, did you feel that playing for the chicks was finally going to show everybody that, you know, I don't know at that time.
At that time, I wasn't worried what would show it to anybody. I know none of our sports ever made the paper. I was surprised they even covered the chicks, to be honest.
I have found, well, Jim Nitz has found almost no press coverage from the Milwaukee Journal or Sentinel. Most of it is in Racine and Kenosha.
That's right. Oh, there was stuff in the Milwaukee Journal, but I'm sure he'd have to really hunt through the paper for it. There was a write-up when we did play and stuff, but especially when they got the symphony, then we had a lot of it, I think. Not praising it by any means, but more or less making a joke of it, I think that's what they were doing, if I remember right. No, they never did cover us too well. There was always somebody there, I guess, from the press, but how much got in the paper?
Do you think the lack of press coverage made fans not really know that there was a team?
Well, I
there?
Believe that had a lot to do with it, because a lot of people never even realized they had a ball team in Milwaukee.
Even today?
To this day. They never heard of it, you know. Well, that's lack of press. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know why the league didn't get on their backs. That I can't answer. I don't know. I think they'd have demanded some coverage or more coverage. I guess they had some, but they didn't have very much. There were no big splashing pictures in the paper or anything. Not like you would have gotten in your small town newspapers. But like I said, that was a comparison. Your small town didn't have a big team to worry about. So when they finally got some team in there, although it was women, they followed them.
How did the chicks feel? How did the chicks feel when you were traveling and there were quite a few fans in the stands for the other team and you might have your family or if anybody remembers team?
I don't know.
Did it make anyone feel neglected or?
I don't
know
think
what the
so.
Word would be.
I don't think you played. I mean, how other ones felt, I have no idea. Naturally, when I was at home and playing, if there was somebody in the stand that I knew, I wanted to do my best, naturally, but it's baseball. Sometimes you make a blooper, whether they're there or not, you know. How the rest felt, I had no idea. Most of those girls came from all over the States, so a lot of them didn't have their families there or anybody that really knew them. They're just fans, period.
Did any of your family go to the championship games in Kenosha?
Not that I know of. There wasn't that much of the family to go. My sister wouldn't bother going, I don't think. The one that was just after me. And like I said, my brothers are gone. And my folks certainly didn't travel that far. I think my dad came to Borchardt Field once. I mean, even to them, it didn't, you know, play in a Borchardt Field. It's nice, but so what? That's the way the opinion was in those days.
How do you think the Chicks played during that season?
Well, we must have played very good. We won the championship. So I guess we did all right.
How do you think you played, personally?
Well, when I played, I did my best.
How often did you play?
Not often enough to suit me, because they ran it the way they do here.
This is the continuation of an oral history interview with Sylvia Ronsky-Strejka, conducted on March 20th, 1995, by Lisa Hutchinson for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Graduate Public History Class Project, The Forgotten Champs, The Milwaukee Chicks of 1944.
Did many of the Milwaukee fans attend the championship games in Kenosha?
Well, I guess quite a few fans came down there, but I wouldn't know who they were, you know. None of my family or that, but we had a lot of Milwaukee backers down there cheering for us, so they must have been from Milwaukee.
And how did the press or the fans feel about you winning the championship?
I don't even remember if it made the paper. The fans were happy, yes. A lot of cheering going on that after the game. And then when we got home, well, there was nothing. I mean, not like you'd have for a men's team coming home with the championship. There was nothing there. We made our own fun. But like I say, we weren't that well received. We were just girls playing ball.
How do you feel about the season you played overall?
What do you mean?
As a pitcher.
Well, overall, we did all right. What games I played in, I did okay, but I wasn't in as often as I'd like to have been.
How often did you play?
I can't remember that. Not as
you
often as I
You played one game or four games or how did
oh,
you
Oh, God, play? I don't know. Lady, this is too long ago.
We had talked about you playing one game and then you usually were off for about four or five
least,
games.
At least. Well, say maybe maybe I only pitched 10 games. I really don't know. It's too far back to remember.
But you did pitch a one-hitter.
Oh, I did that. I pitched a two-hitter. And other than that, no, I can't remember. But those stand out naturally because that was good.
So you were a good player, but you didn't get to play as often as you wished?
That's right. I was trying to my best. I mean, well, when you got that many pitchers, then they want a favorite of taller ones and this and that. Makes it look good, you know.
For the show?
For this show. What are you going to do? So it was all right, though. I enjoyed playing at home better than I did that. Because I was better dressed, too. I didn't enjoy playing in those uniforms, though.
So you and Joe and Tommy were really good friends. Was there any competition between the three of you?
Not at all. There isn't competition at all from any of us, really. Because we had nothing to say as to who played. I mean, and they were all good in their own. That way we wouldn't have been there. No, we got along just fine. There was no, just the three of us hit it off right off the bat. We'd go chomping around together and stuff like that. Once in a while, one or two others would go along, but mostly the three of us went bumming around. So.
Can you think of any incident that sticks in your mind during a game when you were pitching?
Not really, but like what?
Well, you had mentioned the incident where you threw the ball when you were trying to...
Oh, you mean embarrassments? Oh, well, yeah, sure. Like I said, we had to learn to pick runners off a base, and which we didn't do it normally. And I think it was Racine. And the stands are quite a ways from the diamond, and I don't know if it was my first or second attempt to try this. Anyway, I took the ball and I was going to pick off that runner on first, and I let go. And that ball took off like a flight out of nowhere. It landed in the stand somewhere, so everybody, including myself, laughed so hard because it was just the funniest thing you ever saw. I could hardly stop laughing and try to continue pitching. It was a very, very fun, embarrassing, but it was ridiculously funny. The way that ball just, I don't know where I was going to throw that ball, but it sure took off. A line drive wouldn't have gone any further, I don't think.
what about Max Carey? Did he...
Well, I think he was laughing just as hard as anybody else. The whole bench was roaring. I know I was. I was laughing too hard to even look worry about it. It was
so
just too funny. Oh, no.
No hard feelings?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. No reprimand or anything. It was just one of those things. It was funnier. And everybody laughed, including myself. I could hardly stop. When you do something stupid, I mean really stupid, you gotta either laugh or sit down and cry. I didn't want to cry. I was laughing. It was funny. If you could have seen that ball take off, holy smoke. I don't know where that ball went, where it wound up.
Did you try again
during
other games and get better?
Matter of fact, if my memory serves me right, up until I got out of there, I was the only one to pick a player off a second base. Which is even harder to do. Right? You got to swing all the way around it and make sure you get the ball to that second baseman. And we did pick the runner off. As far as I know, that I can remember, and I'm not trying to brag, it's just I lucked out and I did it. And that was better than anybody else did. I don't remember anybody else picking up off a second, or for first for that matter. That's the way it went.
So how did you feel that all of your championship games were played in Kenosha and not Milwaukee?
Well, I think they played there to get the more packing, more people turned out for it. As a matter of fact, I don't remember them all being played there.
The newspaper says all the games...
Well, I have to believe that. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest, that I don't remember. You sure we didn't play one in Milwaukee or two?
No.
It
said
all
that
there?
The 7-game streak was played in Kenosha.
Well, that must be. Well, evidently they must have played it there because there'd be more fans out. It might have been a smaller town, but they had better backing than you had in Milwaukee.
And the Brewers might have been playing.
That's true, too, come to think of it. That may have been the reason. I wouldn't know, though, really. Because if you'd asked me that, I wouldn't have known where we played it.
Did you play any of the games
I don't
during
think
the championship?
So. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't honestly remember. I played in the league, and when I was over with that, that was the end of it. For me, I was very surprised to find out that they played as many years as they did, because I did not follow it. I got busy. I was married and had kids and things. I just never concerned myself with it. And then just about 2 years ago, where I get this letter informing me about the league that they formed and that the movie was coming out and all that. It was all a big surprise to me.
So your one season ended with the champion, you know, the one full season ended with the championship and...
The following season, I only played half, and then I was out.
In class, we were talking about the significance of women's professional baseball during World War II. And did you see your role as a professional baseball player as any patriotic role?
No, I can't say I did. Maybe some of them did, I don't know. But if it wasn't, maybe there'd be two ways of taking that. If there hadn't been a war, maybe they wouldn't have had a chance to even put it on. Maybe we would never have been. Who knows? I really didn't say I was patriotic because I played ball.
Did you feel you were contributing to the war effort, keeping people entertained when there was so much other stuff to think about?
I can't say it crossed my mind.
That makes sense.
Hey, I was a kid. I didn't know. I was playing ball. It's something I liked to do. If I was helping the war effort, I'm proud of that. I bought e-bonds and stuff like that, but I didn't know the playing ball was part of it. Maybe it was considered it, but I never gave that a thought.
Did the team do anything to help the war effort as a...
Well, I know at one time I had to go with another gal. We went to Red Cross for some reason or other with the war effort. I can't remember just what it was. I think there was even a picture in the paper. I believe it was the Red Cross we went to, something about the war. And then There may have been other things, but that, at least I know I was in on that one. When we played at the veterans camps, we went to here at Woods, we played at the soldiers' home here, Woods, and then we went, I think it was Battle Creek, Michigan. We played at the Veterans Hospital there.
This was an exhibition game?
Yes, definitely. Just for them, you know, the only the soldiers that were there, the veterans, whatever, who was ever there, and that they could get them out to the ball game, and we put on a game for them.
Do you remember anything specific about the game?
Oh, no, not really.
Was it more, were there more fans than in Milwaukee?
Well, we had them all captivated. None of them could get away. No. It was basically for them, and they all turned out. Even the one that they had to get them up into wheelchairs and stuff, they got them all out to the ball game. Anybody that was transportable was brought out for the game. That was kind of nice. All the soldiers there. Some had just got back, you know, injured and this and that, or, you know. But we had quite a turnout on both places, all military. So I suppose that was a war effort. It was something, you know.
What did you think of the role of women during the war? No, like, you started going to work to earn money while your brothers were away.
Well, the war effort put a lot of women to work in a factory that maybe never would have gotten into a factory before that. And, well, I got a lot of personal ideas about things that I would not say. But due to that fact, the women got into the factory, and then when the men came home, they did not intend to get out of them. When the women got a taste of what it was to work and get decent pay for working, they stayed. A lot of guys were out of jobs when they got back. Most of them got their jobs back. I mean, but they could not just dismiss the women. Women had their rights, union rights. They were there. So they had to keep them working. But that was the start of women going out to work and staying there.
So when the war ended, they tried to take the women and put them back, you know, in the homes?
They couldn't. No more. That was the end of that. Well, nowadays it's a little stupid. I mean, you have to work to make ends meet nowadays. But a lot of women would want to work now. Just they don't figure being a mother, which is very important in a home care. It should be the number one job for any woman, but I'm old-fashioned, I guess. They claim you can be both, and I don't say you can. I think that's wrong. Where the woman can be home and be a mother and a housekeeper, that is a very, very important job, and that's why this country's where it's at, because there are no mothers home. A lot of them can't be home because of the financial situation, that's understood. But where they could be and they're not, I think that's ridiculous. Because they want to be somebody. They don't figure being a mother and bringing up kids to be decent human beings isn't important. They can see where the world's at and look back and see where they're all with. You need a family to bring up family children, and that should be an all-day job. Where you can and you don't, I think you're wrong. It's understandable in today's economy, the women have to work too to make ends meet, and I think that's bad.
When you married your husband, did you work?
Well, we were both working at the time. Then I worked until, well, way back then. The minute they found out you were pregnant, you had to quit. And they didn't take a chance on anybody working that was pregnant. Nowadays, they let you work right up to the hour you're going in to deliver, but back then, no. Then I was home. Oh my gosh. I had my son, and we went into a store business. Then I had my daughter. And then Korea broke out. I never heard of Korea He came to the hospital to see me. We had our store business in Waterford. And he came to see me at the hospital. I was here in Milwaukee. He told me he was supposed to report it for duty like a month ago, but they had lost his address. We moved in that. And he was reporting late the way it was. So he had to go in late, and I went back home by my dad. I had to sell the store and everything, but he was already gone. It was a mess. What point was I trying to make?
So you were working when he left then?
No, I wasn't working. We had the store business. But they took him in September, and I had the Christmas August. June. He didn't go in until September. Kind of a mess this was. Or was it August he went in? It was very close, and then I ended up moving back home by my dad because I had to sell the store business. I couldn't run the store. At the time, I didn't drive, and we used to go get our own produce and stuff. I didn't have my driver's license, and with two kids, I couldn't have ran the store, not with two babies. One was two, and the other one was just born. So I moved home with my dad, and the records were all screwed up. I didn't get any money from him. I finally went to Red Cross, and they started paying my dad for me to stay there. And then he got remarried, and that's following January or February, my stepmother decided she would take care of the kids, and I went back to work.
You went back to work then?
I had to. There was no money coming in. So
the 40s. During the war years, changed the fact that more women were starting to work.
Well, the 40s, yes, but I'm talking now, this was Korea, and that was 50. I went back in the workforce 50, 51. And yeah, she was born in 50, and I went back to work 51. And then, oh, jeez, I had to work. They finally caught up with them, but... what are you going to do until that time? I had no money for anything. But they're a screwed up mess, his records. But I suppose it's because he reported in late. It was one of those things. It's all past now.
During World War II, you said you had two brothers in...
I had two brothers in service. I've had five brothers all total. Right. The third brother didn't go in until, I guess he was Korea a bit too, the younger one.
Were there any other family members who went into the service?
No, just my two brothers. The two older brothers went in. The oldest one had gotten married, and they didn't take him. He had asthma. And then they took my two brothers, went in right away. And that's when I left school and went to work. And at that time, my kid brother was only, 10 years younger than I was. So he was only about 8 at that time. So no, he didn't come around until a Korean bit. My husband came home and he left, I guess I might add.
How did you feel about your brothers being gone at war? Were they overseas?
One was. Okay. Matter of fact, it turned out he was safer than the one that was here. The brother that was training here, they took down south, I can't remember the name of the camp. He was training to be a ranger. And one time we ended up with not poison oak. And I guess he took a good tumble down a training hill of some kind. Got all banged up, there's a cane and everything else. And when he was in being checked for that, they found out he had a perforated eardrum. He should not have ever been drafted, which he must have gotten when we were all sick kids with scarlet fever. He was deaf for 2 weeks, and it's possibly when that happened, but he should never have been drafted to begin with.
So your other brother overseas?
He was over in Japan and that. He was MT. He never got to Japan, the Philippines and Australia and stuff like that.
And this was the brother you played ball with?
I played with all of them.
How did you deal with his absence? You were only
in high school. Well, by that time we weren't playing no more together, you know.
You had your girls' leagues.
Yeah. I'm talking about when we were growing up kids, then we all played in the backyard, you know, or in the alleyways or what have you, the whole neighborhood, years ago. Nowadays you don't find that kind of stuff, but years ago the kids in the area all played together, games going. The streets used to be full of kids playing baseball or what have you. Nowadays you don't see anything like that. I don't know why. The kids are they got too much stuff. They got to be in the television or playing with their Atari games and things like that there, instead of getting out and playing and being exercised. And I don't know. They're missing an awful lot of fun. That's all I can say. I enjoyed being a kid a lot more than I see what the kids do today for enjoyment. I think it sucks, in my opinion.
So you're pretty far removed from your brother?
Pardon?
You were pretty far removed from your brother since you hadn't played with him for a while. You missed him, obviously.
Oh, no, we weren't that removed. It's just, you grow up, you know, you do your thing and I do mine.
Well, Dorothy Mickey McGuire she had lost her husband in the war. How did the team react when...
Well, everybody was happy for her when they found out that he was home.
Yeah.
And then he did come. We did get to meet him, so...
How did the team react when she received her telegram?
Well, everybody was happy. I mean,
or no, that
shocked.
They had thought he had died.
Well, how would you react?
No. How did it happen?
There were a lot of things happen like that during the war. You'd get a notice that so-and-so was missing in action. But until you finally got the telegram that he actually was dead or whatever, well, he had been missing in action. Mm-hmm. And assumed dead. They weren't sure. But then when they finally got track of him and got word to her, well, then we were all happy. She couldn't even play, you know, that night. And when we got the word, well, she was out of kilter. She couldn't even play ball that night.
Did she play at all?
Not that day, no. I think she went home to meet him, and then they came back together. I guess she got a week off or something like that.
When he came home?
Yeah. So, it was kind of nice. We got to meet him, too.
Did any other teammates lose any family members or thought they had lost?
With that, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm sure a lot of them did. Because all of them had somebody or, you know. Everybody was in at that time. But who, if anybody did, I don't know.
Mickey, how did she get her notice? Was this at the team? I mean, was everybody around? Or?
I don't think so. I believe maybe Dottie.
Dottie Hunter?
She may have given her the word. Hmm. I really don't know how she got notified. That's honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did the team support each other when bad things happened?
Anybody. What's a bad thing?
Well, when...
Say better luck next time or something like that. Or buck up. It happens to everybody, you know. How do you buck up your friends when something goes wrong?
Well, you said Mickey had gotten the missing in action telegram.
Well, that was in a long time. She didn't get that while we were playing ball.
Oh. Okay.
That was already in. I don't know how long. Because... What the year was that? All I know is he was missing in action, period, when we were even starting. When she got that notice, I don't know. But we were playing ball when she got the other notice that he finally was okay.
Were there any other experiences that you remember playing for the Milwaukee Chicks during the war? Anything you did
that sticks out of
your mind?
Not really.
Well, after you left Milwaukee, did you move with the Chicks to Grand Rapids?
Well, we went to Grand Rapids, and we were living, I and, what was it, two other girls? Or was it just one? Two of us were living in this one lady's home. And I don't know what religion she was, but she was an organist and a very beautiful voice, and she could sing. Oh, we listened to her quite a bit. But that was one of the times I went out with the gang drinking, which I wasn't very good at. And between the other gal and I, when we were one or the other was going out, we'd leave the key for the other one. And I had just enough beers in me that I couldn't remember where the key was supposed to be. So the gals are all were searching that front porch. We finally did track it down. And I managed to get in the house without making any noise and cause no ruckus. Didn't hear anything about it, didn't get fined or anything. So evidently she didn't hear me come in because it was after curfew. And got away with it that way. But the next day at practice, word must have gotten out that a few of us had been out too late. And they practiced the living tar out of us. I sweated twice as much as I ever sweated. Of course, that beer will do that for you. Oh, you ever want to sweat, just drink a lot of beer and then go run around in the sun. It just drips out of you all over the place. They worked us pretty good, so I think somebody gave a little hint somewhere along the line that some of us had been out. And just watching us work on, I think they knew who. But we never heard anything about it.
The person you stayed with, did she have any responsibility as to punishing you for anything?
Oh, no, but she would turn us in.
Okay.
But like I say, I think I made it in that night without disturbing her.
But word got around anyway.
Well, it wasn't just me, you know. I wasn't out alone. There was a whole gang of us were out. I can't remember whose car. Somebody was driving that night. Somebody had a car. And we got to the house there, and then I said I couldn't remember where the key was. And I think there was five of us in the car. They all got out and helped me look for that stupid key. We found it finally, and I got in. And nothing happened. If she'd heard me come in, I'm sure she'd let me know it. But I managed to get in my own room and quiet. And I said nothing happened except a good practice the next day. So I figured somebody dropped in, but nobody knew who was out, you know. I don't know, but they sure practiced the living tar out of us, or it felt that way anyway. Oh, it was terrible.
So 1945 in Grand Rapids was your last season.
Right. I didn't even finish it. Halfway through, they released me, and I was supposed to go play in Chicago. I had a contract to go play semi-pro down there, which I possibly would have really enjoyed even more so, because they wore the regular uniforms and things. Plus, they set you up with a job. So you made money twice, on the job and as on the team. But then, by that time, my boyfriend, who had come back from service, could go back to Connecticut to finish college. And he said if you go play in Chicago, he was going to go back to Connecticut. Well, I didn't want a separation, so I said, no, I'd stay home. If he stayed home, so we both stayed home. And ended up getting married. And then I finished playing baseball out in West Dallas again. So I played ball until I was pregnant. But my first... was my son. He was my first child. I guess I was 2 or 3 months pregnant, and I slid into second base. And their second baseman was a pretty good-sized gal. And I upended her more or less, and when she was coming down, I just managed to roll out of her way so she didn't land on top of me. And that was the end of my playing ball. My husband said, that's it.
Well, 2 or 3 months pregnant is...
Yeah, well, I felt good, so why not? But I shouldn't have slid in, but I did. But he was fine. He's a commander, retired commander in the Navy. So he turned out all right. I didn't hurt him any.
your last season, you only played half of the season.
Right.
Why did you only play half?
Because they released me. I don't know why. I didn't get along with that manager, like I said, that time when he put Connie in. That was the manager that was doing that.
What happened then?
We were trying to pick up, you know, give Connie all the more wins by using her to pitch a game, and not just me, another gal. And he put Connie in the last inning to give her credit for a save to make her a big star.
And in fact, that was the year that she and someone was tied for most games won.
Yeah, right. But that's how she was getting them. Now, to me, that was wrong, but that's the way they did it.
Did you get upset with the manager? Did you bring this up with him?
No. But they knew I wasn't happy. Of course, who would be? That's not right, I don't think. I didn't think then, I still don't. Then all of a sudden I was released, but he never even told me why himself or anything, and he should have, but he never did. So that was all right. I figured, okay, I go home. And I could have gone to Chicago, like I said, which I maybe would have enjoyed more. But the way circumstances were, I stayed home.
Who told you you were going to be released? Or did you know?
Well, I heard it through the grapevine. I couldn't tell you who the first one was. And then Dottie
Hunter.
Why can't I remember her name today?